Hello and welcome to English Podcasts with Chris and Sue. For more information, visit english-podcasts.com.
Hello, Renu.
Hello, Chris.
How are you?
I'm good today. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Just a quick reminder, which I'm sure you're aware of, is the COP26 is coming up in Glasgow between the 31st of the 10th and the 12th of the 11th. And it's a big conference on basically saving the planet. COP means conferences of the parties. How's it doing in India in terms of green awareness, in terms of basically cutting back on greenhouse gases and emissions?
Well, it's not as advanced, let's say, as in the Western world, as in the European world, let's say, which I'm more familiar with. But we're getting there. I mean, they cut out some years ago in Delhi, which is the capital of India. They cut out lead diesel and lead gasoline. So they cut that out to reduce, you know, carbon emissions. They they're planting more and more trees all around India, recognizing that this is a way to save the planet, you know, to counteract. But then you get in places like where I am currently, which when I came many decades ago for the first time to visit was totally green. It was jungle. It was ruled by the monkeys. And now it's ruled by the concrete buildings. Mm. And the monkeys, you know, have nowhere to go. And there is so much pollution here compared to decades ago that I cannot tell you. And also, as I understand it, you know, India has quite a high, you know, on the, I don't know where it stands, but on the pollution, you know, record that they have, India is kind of scoring quite high on pollution levels.
Very. Apparently, there's a big attachment to coal in India.
Yeah.
Coal-fired power stations, etc. Coal burning as well.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, so in a place like this, we don't have lead-free emissions, you know, all the tuk-tuks, the little three-wheeler autos that people are transported on, you know, because we don't have a bus system here, we don't have a metro system here. So everyone's, and you know, you're driving along and you'll see these huge emissions coming out. Mm. You know, there is a certificate, I can't remember what it's called, but it's there's something like a pollution certificate. So every year you have to undergo a pollution test, you know, which wasn't there, you know, several years ago. And only then is your car qualified to be on the road. But it doesn't look to me that that's actually working.
No, I have often thought in India that many cars would never even be on the road in Europe. That you see, and the big lorries that just pump out black smoke.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
And also, there's a lot of plastic pollution as well, isn't there, in India? And what I noticed, in fact, is that even young people will buy, I don't know, sweets or something from a shop, and they just throw the packaging away. And I thought young people would have been a little bit more aware and a little bit more careful about this. But no, it didn't seem to be.
No. Yeah, you're right, Chris. This is what I've observed as well. And I'm just going to make this point because I find it particularly unusual, is that you're living by the banks of the Ganges, which is a very holy, sacred river, revered by Indians, you know, for millennia. And people are worshipping the river because it's a source of life. You know, water is a source of life. And yet, so I see these people worshipping with, you know, with lights and incense and flowers and what have you, the traditional worship methods. And then, you know, all this stuff comes in a plastic bag, you know, the flowers and the incense and the what have you. And then they do all their worship and then they just chuck the plastic into the Ganges, you know, and it's like, hello. And I gave up now. I was like the pollution police. I used to go after people and say, what do you think you're doing? You're worshiping and at the same time you're killing her, you know, yeah. You're choking the river with plastic. The same with cows, you know, cows are like revered, as you know, highly in India. The cow is called mother cow, Gomata in Sanskrit. And again, you know, people are, you know, disposing of their, you know, food remnants, you know, in plastic bags. And It's been said, I mean, I haven't seen this, thank God, but it's said that sometimes when they, you know, when they've been, when I don't know why they've dissected a cow, but anyway, when they have, they found that many cows have died because of the plastic poisoning.
Yeah.
And they found a lot of plastic inside the intestines of cows.
Yeah.
Totally because beautiful. Cows are just trying to grab their food, and in the way comes the plastic, and yeah. that gets, you know, swallowed. So yeah. There's a bit of like, I don't know, there's a bit of a dichotomy here for me to understand. And as you said about
the word, yeah, dichotomy, because on one side you have this really sort of mystic caring about things, and making sure they're eating the right foods, et cetera, et cetera. And on the other side, it's a total opposite where they you know, I noticed lots of polystyrene, lots of plastic, lots of, and as you say, you see water buffalo by lakes, by temples, et cetera, just chomping away at bits of plastic and in the center of Delhi in amongst all of this pollution and yeah. with this type of thing as well.
It's, yeah, and the other interesting thing is that the earth is also, like the Ganges, like the cow, the earth is considered a mother because she nurtures. You know, we get all our food from the earth. So she's considered Mother Earth. And so, you know, we know that, you know, we have to protect the mother. And yet, on the other hand, that doesn't carry into practical life.
Yeah. What I did notice, though, in South India, in the Western Ghats, the mountains, in Kerala and in Tamil Nadu, there were many of the stations at altitude. At the bottom, where you started to climb up, police would stop the people, and if you had any plastic containers in your car, you had to throw them away. If you went further up, because there was another, you probably crossing a state line, probably from Kerala or Karnataka into Tamil Nadu or whatever, and if the police found you higher up with plastic, you got a fine. And I noticed in some of these hill stations around Munnar, etc., it was impeccably clean. It really was clean.
Was that a recent thing?
This was 2 years ago that I went. Apparently, it's something that they're trying to do. But I mean, I think most of it, and this is what, going back to my point on young people, are there any sort of educational programs, you know, is it sort of, you know, put in front of people that, you know, well, we should be actually picking this stuff up. I'll give you a parallel, if you like. I remember a few years ago in Stockholm in Sweden, I was walking along the road and there was somebody in front of me and there was some plastic on the floor, like a wrapper of a chocolate bar or whatever. And I saw this person go and pick it up and put it in the bin. Now, it wasn't theirs. And they picked it up and put it in the bin. And Stockholm, absolutely spotless. Can you imagine that happening in India?
Well, I've done it.
Yeah, apart from you.
No, I've rarely seen it. But having said that, in Rishikesh, there has been a Clean Up Ganga campaign and Clean Up Ganges campaign. And so you do get a lot of kids, I mean, young, you know, late teens, early 20s, you know, walking around, picking up, you know, garbage around the Ganges. So there is that happening more. Before, I mean, picking up garbage is considered to be like the lowest grade job, you know, and it's considered like, you know, like you've got the lurgy if you do it, you know.
That's everywhere, isn't it, really?
I don't know. I think I felt like there's more a taboo about it here in India, you know, cleaning toilets and, you know, picking up garbage and all this kind of stuff. But then, you know, this campaign was brought about actually by a Westerner. And so maybe that influenced people as well, because West is still considered best in India. And so then there was a big group that, you know, and then other Indian, then apart from this group, there are other Indians who have set up similar groups to clean up the Ganges. And it's become quite popular now. So I think there is some level of awareness going on. There is some level of education going on, but it's still, you know, in its early stages, let's say. I think we're about 15 years behind the Western world, if not 20. Okay. You know, in terms of understanding, the practice, what we can do practically in our lives, to protect, for climate change, for earth protection.
But I mean, they can do stuff, because I noticed in India, you in Delhi and everywhere really, you cannot smoke on the street. And if you smoke on the street, you're in trouble. Maybe not so much if you're from Europe, but Indian people, you never see them smoke on the street.
Oh, no?
Have you ever noticed this?
No, not at all. I mean, I suppose it's not as prevalent as it is in the UK. But here in India, I do see people. I do see people smoke on the streets. Actually, it's not illegal by any means.
It is in Delhi.
Maybe
you cannot smoke and you cannot vape on the street. You know, the electronic cigarette, and also in Bangalore, it's the same. I don't know whether it's all Karnataka, but Bangalore and places in Varkala, for example, Kerala.
Kerala, yeah.
You're not allowed to. Not allowed to at all. And the police will stop you. And I think I was smoking by a tea stand or whatever, and a policeman wagged his finger at me. But he wasn't going to do anything because,
Because you're white.
Exactly, yeah. But if it had been an Indian, I think they would have been in some sort of trouble. So I think what we should do, we'll keep an eye on this COP. I think, I don't know if you can get the news so easily there. I know there's been some reports on the BBC recently about India's reliance on coal and how they have to break this reliance. And China has vowed not to build any more coal-fired power stations. That's what they've said.
I mean, India has so much, potential power from water, from the sun.
What this report said.
It doesn't have to rely at all on coal.
Absolutely.
India could be hugely rich, if it just, made the solar power it could make and sell it.
I think the problem that they were talking about is, in fact, investments in infrastructure, which is lacking. It's not so much a desire not to do it, because I mean, once you've got solar power, you never pay for it again. It's fabulous.
It's politically motivated. I think there is some conspiracy, or let's say, I don't like that word particularly, but there is some influence from other countries around the world to keep India down and oppress India. And somehow India has taken the handshake and not gone into that area of solar power. I'm not sure. I never actually understood why there's actually what was behind it.
For poor people, it could be quite a good thing, because what happens in France, and this will obviously happen in India, is that you can only use so much of that electricity. You can store a little bit of it, but it, as long as the sun is shining or the wind is blowing, it's still generating. So a lot of people in France actually sell electricity back to the grid.
Yeah.
So that they have a surplus of what they need, and it's sold automatically back to the grid. So they're actually making money.
That's a good incentive for people.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on this.
Yeah, and we do have incentives here for people and subsidies here for people to use solar appliances.
Okay.
So, there is movement towards it. There is awareness. There is education. There is practical, actual, things happening. I see more and more, because I run a sustainability initiative, and where I supply, sustainable products, lifestyle products. And I do see, through my connection throughout the whole of India, that there are more and more of such organizations springing up. And there's more and more awareness about sustainability, whether it's to do with ethical fashion, slow fashion, or whether it's to do with, not using plastics. And, there are groups, there are WhatsApp groups, from all around India, Facebook groups, all sorts of things have come up. And so I do think the new generation, have more awareness about this. And I think the ancient generation, well, it wasn't about awareness. It was just like a way of life to be sustainable.
Yeah, sure.
There were no plastics then, and that's just how you lived, You know, everything was recycled and composted, et cetera, you know. And, you know, you'd go to the grocers, you wouldn't buy anything packed in plastic. You'd go with your little, you know, your little tote kind of, you know, bag and you'd get it filled with lentils or whatever.
Yeah.
And nowadays they've started this. They did this in the UK many decades, I think a couple of decades ago. You go in with bottles to shops and you get your oil refilled. You know, you don't have to buy another plastic bottle of oil. I mean, you must have that there, right?
Yeah, we do, yeah. Yeah.
Same with washing up liquid, whatever, you know. So there is definitely quite a profound movement in that direction, but it just hasn't taken off yet. But this throwing of garbage is a very popular thing, you know, and a lot of kids do it. You know, you're driving your car and then suddenly all this garbage, you know, people are just throwing garbage out of their car.
Yeah, I've seen it, on buses and cars or whatever.
Yeah. You know, even the wealthy, educated people, you know, it doesn't make any difference, you know. Right across the range of wealth, you know, in this country, people are doing it. It's not to do with education. It's not to do with wealth.
It is to do with education because it's about responsibility, isn't it? You know, throw it out and then it's no longer your responsibility. But in fact, it is because you are polluting something somewhere or you're adding to that pollution. So it is your responsibility. So I think it's quite important that education responsibility actually...
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, when I say education, I meant general education, curriculum education. So that doesn't make a difference in the sense that if you've been to a posh school and if you've been to a government school, it seems to make no difference. Specific education, you know, geared towards sustainability is definitely lacking and it should be introduced into the curriculum of, you know, schools across the board. That hasn't happened except for, you know, in alternative kind of educational models like, you know, Montessori and you know, other alternative streams of education. But, you know, I think because, you know, if you go on Instagram now and you look at Indian, you know, Insta accounts, you'll see a lot of sustainability initiatives, you know, set up by young people doing amazing things, you know. You know, they're doing the whole upcycling thing as well. You know, they're also like believing now this is like really taboo in India to wear someone else's clothes apart from your family's. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are, you know, getting into secondhand shops and, you know, recycling clothes like that. You know, there's a fantastic woman here in Rishikesh and she has all these seconds and, you know, I don't know where they come from, but they're fantastic designer labels and they've been used, you know, and people are buying them. Indians are buying them.
Yeah.
Indians have a thing about like, oh, you know, clothes carry bad energy if they're worn by someone else and, you know, so... Yeah, definitely there is a practical initiative towards this. There's an awareness initiative towards this, but we're still, you know, we've still got a long way to go. At least we've started. That's all I can say.
But and I think, once again, I think it's all to do with education and communication. Once that's through, I think, and then people becoming responsible.
Well, just one last thing. I mean, you know, I just mentioned Mother Earth. I mean, there are prayers to Mother Earth. You know, there are actual ancient 5,000-year-old prayers to Mother Earth. Worshipping the earth, worshipping the rain, worshipping the sun, worshipping the moon, you know, worshipping all of the natural, you know, of the cosmos. And yet, you know, with that history in India, people are still continuing to destroy the planet. It's like, you know.
It's crazy. But one thing that really shocked me, just as a last one, was when I went to Agra. Agra was like knee deep in plastic and dirt and broken down cars. And then you go to the Taj Mahal, which is pristine, is beautiful. You cannot take plastic in there. You know, it's absolutely fabulous. But you just go outside of this and... the reality hits. And in fact, you know, we planned to stay in Agra for 3 days. I think we stayed two nights, I think we stayed in the end. And we had to get out. It was filthy. It really, really was filthy.
Okay, well, that's been really interesting exchange.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good to come back on the COP just to see, you know, what people come out with about, you know, the various countries, because obviously there's a lot of greenwashing going on, you know, the talking about, you know, the Conservative Party in the UK, for example, are talking about, you know, clean power, and yet they're opening up coal power stations. And yeah. Australia, very, very big on green power, apparently, but I think they've got massive, massive power stations with coal. Okay, it's like India, I think, you know, they've got a lot of reserves, but, you know, to actually get... Have you ever seen an electric car in India?
Yes, I have, indeed. Ah. Yep. They're used, I've seen them primarily in resorts, you know, where, you know, big resorts where they have a lot of beauty and landscape, and they just want a very peaceful, serene environment. So they have these electric cars ferrying people. I wouldn't say it's a car. It's more like a golf cart.
A golf cart, that's it.
But the electric car and the electric bike, I think, has been launched or was about to be launched when I last heard about.
Tata would be onto that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So it is in the pipeline if it hasn't already happened. A friend told me he was going to buy an electric bike the other day, but it hadn't come into the marketplace yet. So definitely, yes, it's there. But then people have their concerns that if they have an electric, vehicle, then what if they need to charge it, you know, midway somewhere?
And well, this is the thing. Again, back to infrastructure.
There's a power cut, you know.
Exactly. Infrastructure isn't there, it just won't work, will it?
That's
anyway, well, thank you very much for that, Renu. We can come back on a lot of these subjects, I think.
Oh, yes, very much, yes. I have a whole load of ideas streaming away in my head. So
excellent. Excellent. Okay. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again at english-podcast.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes. And if you have an idea for a podcast or a blog, please get in contact with us through the site at english-podcast.com.